We're going to start the series called The Blessed Family, and you can go to the title slide if you want. And it's going to be called Protected is the first installment, you could say, on this series on The Blessed Family. So we're going to talk about family in the future and the different roles in the family, how the dynamics of the family, the issues that affect every member of the family, the men, the women, the teenagers, the children. Each of us are affected a little bit differently, especially in American society. So we're going to get on those. But today is a foundational message. We're going to talk about having a blessed life through protection. And so, first of all, I want to say we throw the word blessing or blessed around quite a bit, don't we? You know, we go around and say, hey, God bless you. God bless you, brother. God bless you. Oh, you're a blessing to me. You know, somebody makes a mistake. Bless his heart. You know, bless her heart. And then if you're somebody's nieces, what do you say? Bless you. You know, but what does it all mean? You know, anybody ever seen the Princess Bride? That movie, you know, Inigo Montoya says, my name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die. You know, that guy. But he had a phrase. He says, there's that word again. I don't think it means what you think it means. Anyway, it's just for you if you've seen the movie. We're going back to the 90s quite a bit today, aren't we, Ryan? Yes. You know, some people are like, what are you talking about? Go Steelers, that's right. So we're going to talk about what blessing means. So let's start in the first place. The word blessed is found in the Bible, which is in Genesis chapter 1. So let's go there. And it says in chapter 1, verses 26 to 28, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And then it says here, verse 28, God what? Blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and what? Subdue it, rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. In verse 28, we find that after God created man and woman, it says he blessed them. The word here for blessed, or sometimes translated as blessing, and sometimes translated as other thing, is from the Hebrew word Barak. Yes, it's the same first name as our former president, Barak. It actually means blessed. Isn't it be great to be called Barak, be called blessed, right? And it says, it's found for the first time here. And what it means is to cause divine favor, to cause to prosper. Okay, it can be used for people, you know, for many people, hey, I want to bless you all as a group. It can be used as individuals. It can be used for things. You know, like for example, God called the Sabbath. It says, and he said that it was blessed. The Sabbath, you know, the day of rest. It is blessed. Even things can be blessed. Inanimate objects can be called blessed. So somehow that favor, that blessing, you know, God expressing his pleasure in those things can be expressed with his word blessed or blessing. All right, so one of the qualities about blessing, in other words, releasing God's favor in our life, is that it sets you apart. Blessing sets you apart, doesn't it? The word is translated as blessed or blessing as a verb over 300 times. In Genesis, we find this word blessing again many times. For example, we find that God blessed Noah and his sons. So of all the families of the earth, it says that God blessed Noah and his sons. So he set them apart from everybody else. Then of his sons, it says that he blessed Shem. You know, we know that Shem is from where the Hebrews came. That's why they called it Semites today. You've heard of the term, you know, anti-Semitic. We're talking about people that are against the Jews because they come from the lineage of Shem, the son of Noah. Everybody catch that on? Because God blessed them in a special way. He set them apart. Then he also blessed Abraham, right? And the Hebrews, you know, that come from there. So another quality of blessing is that it provides protection. Blessing provides protection. And one of the ways that it's shown is it provides protection over a trek so you can reach your destination safely. Okay? When you're blessed, you can reach your destination safely. Amen? So let's look at this. In dealing with Abraham, this is what happened in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. We really got to build this up. We're going to talk about Abraham, you know, in three types of blessings that came upon his life. So we're going to talk about three tiers of blessing, but this is the first one. Are we ready? It says, "The Lord has said to Abraham, 'Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation.'" And it says what? "And I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you." Awesome. "And whoever curses you, I will curse. On all peoples on earth, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. So first thing we see here, his name was Abram at that point. It wasn't quite Abraham yet. God changed his name later on. But basically, as Abraham obeyed, the blessing was activated. The moment that he said, "Yes, Lord, I will do it," and he stepped out, God said, "You are blessed." The blessing was activated, and now you're going to be able to reach your destination. There's no robber. There is no band of raiders that's going to get you in the middle of it and stop you from reaching your destination. Are we getting this? He was blessed by God, and God was going to make sure that he reached his destination all the way to Canaan, which was going to be later the promised land. Okay? I'm just establishing some foundation here. Because he was what? Blessed. So, to the children of Israel in Exodus, he said in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 6, it said, "You will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out." Right? You're blessed when you step out towards your destiny or wherever you're going. So, in practical terms, what does that mean? It means that you are blessed until God is done with you. Some of us are afraid to get into an airplane because we're afraid that the airplane is going to go down. I don't have fears like that because I know God is not done with me. And I'm walking under blessing. And I'm walking under submission to God. And I know until he's done with me, even if the plane goes down, I'm either going to survive or I'm going to bounce. Or I don't know, but I'm going to make it through. Are you guys getting this? When you're blessed, you will reach your destination safely. Paul said to Timothy, it says, "I'm confident that the one that began the good work in you is faithful to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." So he's going to make sure when you're blessed that you reach your destination. This is a great place to be, to understand that you are people of destiny. That what happens in your everyday life is not just by randomness or coincidence. God has a specific design for your life. So you want God's blessing on your life. Are we getting this? All right, let's keep going. So part of obeying God is knowing it does matter who said it. Remember we talked about that like 2 weeks ago, who said it? Like I said before, your neighbor may say, "Hey, bless you," or you sneeze, you know, "bless you." But if God says you will be blessed, you better believe that you are blessed. So if God commands you to do something and you obey, it activates the blessing and you will reach your destination. So you've seen that? The blessing is activated by your obedience. So later on, let's go to the next level. He spoke an even greater blessing on Abraham. Abraham had desires just like you and I. And he desired what? A son, right? He wanted a son. But you know the story. At this point, he was 99 years old. And his wife, which was about 10 years younger, about 89. He had made mistakes. We all know that Abraham wasn't perfect. And isn't that good to know? That the blessing is still over your life, even though you make mistakes, even though you sin. Isn't that awesome to know? That's God's grace. So he even made a mistake. He procreated Ishmael with Hagar, however you pronounce it, his wife's concubine, but they were still blessed. So for the next blessing that God was going to place on Abraham, there was another condition. So let's look at it. Genesis chapter 17. Now, I'm going to read through a lot of portions of this chapter, but I'm going to skip around. I'm actually going to only read 5 verses, so don't worry. We're not going to read the whole chapter here. I'm going to start with verse 1 and then jump to verse 9 and so on and so forth. Okay, it says, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty, walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Okay, it said, be set apart from me. Let's skip to verse 9. Then God said to Abraham, as for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you for the generations to come. Verse 19. Then God said, yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. What does it say right there? I will surely bless him. Even Ishmael was blessed. I will make him fruitful and will greatly increase his numbers. He will be a father of 12 rulers, and I will make him into a great nation. Skip to verse 23. And it says, on that very day, Abraham took his son Ishmael and all those born on his household or bought with his money, every male in his household, and what? Circumcised them as God told him. So Abraham immediately obeyed. Now let's think about this for a second. This is no small thing. He's not like, hey, just cut your finger and put a drop of blood over here. No, this is be circumcised. And I know this is kind of a weird subject to talk about, but it happens, people. All right? But he obeyed without delay. And the blessing was released. And not only was it a blessing, it was a covenant that was started at that point. What is a covenant? A covenant is a contract that never runs out. As long as the parties continue to fulfill the requirements of the covenant, you know, that contract will continue. So as long as the Israelites continue to set themselves apart by circumcision, you know, this covenant continues. Does that make sense? Some people are not sure about this, but we see even in the book of Romans, Paul talking about this, that there's, you know, the blessing of God is still over the Jews. Okay? A lot of them have not received Jesus, but you know what? They're still blessed. Isn't that crazy? And that's amazing because guess what? You were blessed even before you knew him. God made sure that you would reach your destination before you even knew him. Romans chapter 5 verse 8. Or actually 8 verse 5, it says that, you know, God demonstrates his love for us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While you were sinning, he was making preparation for you to make it into the kingdom. And how many of you remember times in your life when God spared you from death? Even before you even knew him. Somehow, he already had his eye on you. Amen? So that was not an easy tack to think about this thing, circumcision. He didn't wait for it. He didn't stall. He didn't question it. That very day, he obeyed God's command, you know, in himself and in every male of his clan. So it's not just obedience I want to point out, but the attitude of the heart in doing so. Let's think about this for a second. God wants us to congregate together, but with what attitude are we doing it? God wants you to pray. But with what attitude are you doing it? God wants you to obey him in all the things that he's laid before you. But with what attitude are you doing it? Isaiah 1:19 says, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat of the good things of the land. So there's the conditions. Not only if you're obedient, but it says if you're willing and obedient. It means if the attitude of your heart to rush to obey the Lord. I'm going to do it right now. I know we teach our children that unless it's prompt obedience, it's not obedience at all. And that is true. When God tells us to do something, we need to put our full heart behind it and do it to completion. Even if it seems really strange and difficult. I'm building up to something, folks. God has given us authority. And Angie was talking about it earlier today. And I thought that was such a confirmation of what God was doing. And she ministered powerfully. You know, that was at a great time. You know, it was a holy moment in God when He was speaking to us. And thank God for you. you were being led by the Spirit. But she told us to step out in authority. But I want to tell you something. If you're not walking under submission to authority, you lose your authority. And sometimes we don't submit to authority because we think it's weird or difficult, or the people don't deserve it, or because they're cruel. I'm sure circumcision was difficult, but He still did it. Because He knew who was asking. And if God tells us to do something and we don't understand it, we need to ask Him and find the blessing in it. Find, you know, what is it behind it, that why He's asking us to do something that we seem difficult. I'm building up to something, so just put a point on that. So, how do we approach what God shows us to do? Not with reluctance, not with questioning, but with a willing, fully devoted heart. So, this is kind of a serious moment, so I'm going to break the monotony. I'm going to show you a quick video so we can laugh at this issue of circumcision a little bit. All right. Let's watch this video.
I was reading, I want to know about the blessings of Abraham. So I'm reading the Bible, it's like Genesis. And one of the things, the blessing about Abraham was the obedience of his household. His name used to be Abram. And one day God told him to change his name. God changed his name and told him to go home and circumcise the entire household. Even the servants. The Bible said he went home that same day and did it. That is obedience. Because I don't know if I could have been a servant. I'm just saying, I had a couple questions first. Like, wait, what happened? What happened? You changed your name? I don't think I know you then. I don't know you. Okay, can we just talk for a second? Can we just talk? Okay. Can you stop sharpening that rock while we talk, though? It's distracting a little bit. I'm trying to focus. Okay, what exactly did God say? His words, please. Okay, circumcised in the flesh of the foreskin. You sure didn't say your skin? Go back up there and check, man. Come back with a note.
I would have never looked at it that way, but yes. All right, so let's talk about the third level of blessing. God tested Abraham to see if he loved him more than his son, Isaac. You remember the story, right? Genesis chapter 2, 22, verses 15 through 18. And it says, the angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. So Abraham followed through. He obeyed in offering his most precious possession, his son Isaac, right? The Bible says, first commandment, it says, you shall not have any other gods before me, right? And you will not make any graven image of anything on the earth or the sky. You know, they call this the God. So God wants to know that our heart is fully devoted to Him, that we're willing to even give Him our most precious possessions, whether it's a person or a thing. And as he obeyed, the Lord released the next greatest blessing in his life, and that is still affecting history today. How is it that through his offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed? Who was his offspring? Jesus. Because this man obeyed, the blessing was released. And God is holding up his end of the covenant, his end of the bargain. And every family in the earth has a chance to be blessed by Jesus. As a matter of fact, even people that know him yet, I've already been blessed by Jesus in different ways. Ultimately, he wants them, you know, to repent and go to heaven, right? Did you know that that blessing of Abraham is also upon us? Remember, he's the father of faith. And anybody who comes, you know, into the kingdom by faith through Jesus, the Bible says we're grafted into the vine. We didn't belong to the initial vine, but it says that God grafted us. We've been adopted. We're part of the family. And every blessing that God spoke over Abraham, he has spoken over you if you believe in Jesus. Did you know that? To be fruitful and multiply, didn't he say, look at the stars of the heavens. Look at the dust of the earth. Look at the grains of sand on the seashore. That's how numerous your descendants are going to be. It is not just the physical descendants. He was talking about the spiritual descendants that would be grafted. And every time one of us gets saved, every time somebody comes into the kingdom, that promise is being answered. And now there's too many to count. When we get to heaven, you know, there's going to be just millions and millions of people. You know, billions. I don't know how many there's going to be, but it's going to be something that cannot be counted like the stars in the sky. Amen? Is that awesome? As we obey, blessing is released, but not just for us. It's also, you know, released over our descendants, over our future generations. The Bible says that he keeps his covenant of grace. It says up to 1,000 generations. Up to 1,000 generations. So I hope you're being blessed by this, because I want you to understand that if you have come into the family of God through the door, through Jesus, you are blessed. Tell the person next to you, you are blessed. You are blessed. And when you are blessed, there's an umbrella of protection. Are you listening? There's an umbrella of protection. There's a hedge of protection about your life. God is making sure that you're reaching your destination. That God is making sure that you fulfill your calling, whatever that may be, and that you do with flying colors. Remember, he's called us not to just to survive. He's called us to thrive. He's called us to not just be servants of God. He's called us to be expressions of God. That when people see us, they see heaven. They see God. Amen. Your DNA has heaven in it. The power and the glory and the authority of God is resting inside of you. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is as close as your lips, as close as your mouth. You just got to speak it. Amen. Sometimes I'm feeling disconnected from God, but for the moment I acknowledge God in my heart, I feel his presence over me, and I feel his promises all around me. Hallelujah. And that's how it should be. You are blessed. You are protected. So, I want to show you... Actually, hold on before we do that. I'm getting ahead of myself. We already said Abraham wasn't perfect. Did he live by the law? No, because there wasn't even a law at the time. Moses came later. But God blessed them. Genesis 24:1. I don't think this is up here, but we'll read it to you. It says, Abraham was not very old, and it says, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. The Lord had blessed him in every way. So the basis for the release of blessing, just to summarize, is what? Obedience. You obeyed in surrendering your life, in repenting of your sin, and that released a blessing on your life of salvation. Does that make sense? In other words, you have to submit yourself to the authority. You have to submit yourself to the authority. These things are connected. We do this by obeying God's commands, his word and his voice. Okay, so Abraham obeyed, and with every step of obedience, God released a new blessing or favor over his life. And what did he do? I'm going to show you a quick slide to summarize this. Number one, he released purpose and fruitfulness into his life. How did he bless Adam and Eve? He said, hey, you're to be fruitful and multiply. You're to subdue, you know, the earth. You're to rule over the animals and the fish. Amen? That is your job. So he gave him a job, and he gave him, you know, the blessing to go with it. Number two, he sets us apart. He set Noah apart. He set Shem apart. He set Abraham apart. Not every family in the world had this blessing. He set this families apart. Amen. Number three, it provides for our needs. It provides for our needs. He blessed them and gave them of every tree, says to Adam and Eve, to eat from. You have every one of your needs covered as long as you stay here under my blessing. Right? Number four, he says protection. Blessed are those that bless you and cursed are those that curse you. There's a hedge of protection. Hey, I'm going to be with you. People can try to come against you. No, they can't. I won't let them. Because I'm making sure that you reach your destination. Now let me just have a little side note on this. God is more concerned about your spiritual well-being than your comfort. Your spiritual well-being and your comfort. You reaching heaven and reaching your destiny of whatever God's called you to do is more important to Him than your comfort. Doesn't mean you won't have affliction. You won't have troubles. God protected the Israelites, but they still had to go through the wars. They still were attacked. But just God made them to overcome every single time because He had blessed them. Amen? All right. And the last thing, He establishes authority through the blessing. Those that are under authority have authority. Are you getting this? Those that are under authority have authority. You know, Pastor Anja told us that we need to pray with authority, things that God has spoken in our lives. However, we need to be careful if we're not walking in under authority. And that's what the Blessed Family series is going to be about walking under the authority and the blessing of God. Amen? So, as we prepare to talk about having a blessed family, it is important that we explore the nature of blessing for us and our children. Okay, so this is probably the last thing I'm going to hit on because we're going to continue next week. All right, but I want you to pay attention. This is really important. I want to focus on the area of protection. We already said that the Israelites were blessed because of the covenant with Abraham. The people of Israel were set apart, had a purpose. They were protected. They were fruitful to the point of multiplication. They were on their way to the promised land. They were having many children, right? What started as a few families when they reached Egypt, it was Jacob and his sons and their families and their servants, just a few families. You know, the Word of God tells us in Exodus chapter 12, verse 37, that at that point there were 600,000 men on foot besides women and children. So it went from a few families, you know, 400 years to over, you know, what many people estimate to be 2.4 million people. Those are estimates. Well over a million, you can say, for sure. Remember, they had been blessed. And even though Pharaoh tried to destroy them, they had protection over them, right? Something to point out is that before the Exodus, not people knew of God. Not many people knew of God before the Exodus story. Did you know that? When God reached out to Moses in the desert, Moses turned around and said, when I go to talk to Pharaoh, who should I tell them that sent me? When God is like, well, tell him I am sent you, you know. And so when he went and told Pharaoh, Pharaoh's like, I don't know who I am. I know who he is. Well, you ain't going. I'm starting to talk like Michael Jr. But 10 plagues later, not only were they released, but guess what? Now the world knew of I am. Now the world knew of He was. So God allows things into our lives so that He may be known, so that He may get the glory, so they may get to know a new attribute of Him. Amen? And it says that the Egyptians gave them gold, silver, and articles of clothing on their way out. Who does that? It says God told Moses to tell the people, hey, when you go out, tell the people, hey, can you give us some gold and silver now that we're leaving and some clothing? And people were like, yeah, sure, here you go. It's because they were blessed. They were blessed. God blesses us. Amazing. Even our enemies will bless us if we allow God to fight for us. So now they're in the wilderness in their trek to the promised land, and now all of the known world knew of the God of Israel, who had brought the empire of Egypt to its knees. And guess what? Later, in the book of Numbers, Moses sent spies into the promised land. Right? And then Joshua also sent some spies into Jericho, the first city that we're going to attack. And who received them? It was a prostitute named Rahab. A sinner. But amazing that this woman knew who God was. Joshua chapter 2 verses 9 through 11 says, "And said to them, I know that the Lord has given you this land, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you come out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts, what? Melted in fear, and everyone's courage filled because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below." So the point is, once again, that God allows us to go through suffering, and sometimes at the hand of cruel leaders, so that he may be known. Are we getting this? And let me just say, when we talk about enemies in today's terms, we're not talking about people necessarily, but we're talking about principalities. Right? The Bible says that we battle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Sometimes we are beating the air, kind of like doing shadow boxing. You've heard of shadow boxing? You know, and we're trying to flex the arm of the flesh, our own, you know, we try to basically, hey, I'm going to use rhetoric and logic to convince people that I'm right. And that doesn't get anywhere. Why? Because it's not logic that's going to get them to change. It's the Holy Spirit touching their heart that's going to get them to change. So we need to fight spiritual battles with spiritual weapons, not fight them with, you know, fleshly weapons. Are we getting this? Let's not get caught, you know, in trying to fight an enemy with the wrong weapons. Okay? So, I have some more memes. I thought I'd turn it a little positive for you guys before we close out here in a little bit. So, we said you had one job. This is, you had one job and you did it right. Okay, here we go. Okay. No, these are, I'm sorry. I changed my memes. These are about Moses. Okay. All right, let's go to the next thing about Moses. You know, that goes right in line with what I was saying. He had a tablet before many people did. All right, it's 11:46. I have a ways to go, but I'm not going to do one more time. This is where I'm going. When we are blessed, and we're under the umbrella protection, nothing can touch us unless God allows it. We see in the life of Job, the saying asked for permission. And God granted it. Why? Because he was doing a work in Job. We see it in the last chapter in Job 42 that Job says, I thought I knew you, but now my eyes have seen you. I thought I heard of you, but it was just, I didn't really know you, God. So when God allows us to go through difficulties, when the enemy is given permission to attack us, it's so that we can go to the next level with God. Are we understanding this? So, but we're still under God's protection. There's only so far the enemy can go because you are blessed. But here's the key. Sometimes we choose to step out from under the blessing. We're under an umbrella, we're protected, but sometimes we step out from under the blessing. I was going to get to the story of Balaam and Balak. They're going through the wilderness, right? Moses and the people. And then some people, the Moabites, they were afraid of the Israelites. And there was a prophet, a man who knew God. However, he was a wicked prophet. Not from Israel, but he was still a man who spoke the oracles of God. His name was Balaam. So Balak, this king of the Moabites, came to see him and said, hey, I want you to speak a curse on them. And he said, well, I'm going to talk to God and we're going to work this out. Just give me some money. And so Balaam went to God. God, I want to curse these people up here. He said, you can't curse them because I have blessed them. Yeah, come on. Are you getting this? Yeah, yeah. You can't curse them because I have blessed them. But Balaam was greedy. And he said, hey, let me try it again. He went back because the Moabite king and all his princes were like getting frustrated. They're like, well, are you going to do it or not? Oh, no, no, yeah, I'm working it out with God. Just give me some more money. Hey, God, I'm back. Can we curse the Israelites? I've already told you. You cannot curse them because I have blessed them. So instead, what? He goes into all this multiple prophecies. Every time he would prophesy blessings over Israel. And then Balak's starting to get really frustrated. It's like, every time I send you in there, you know, you're blessing them some more. Because they're under protection. And it happens over and over. You know, actually, it's over three chapters in Numbers. I don't have the time to get into it. I wanted to. But here's what I wanted to get to. Then Balaam said, hold on. There is one way that you can get them, you know, to have bring curse on them. Is if they curse themselves. If they get out from under the protection on their own. So it says that the Moabites sent women and food sacrificed to idols and enticed the men of Israel. And it says they began to not only partake in this food, but they began to fornicate with these women, the Moabites. The law had told them they were not supposed to mix with other nations. And worse than that, their sin was so bad that it says there was one man who sinned right in front of everybody, pretty much. Everybody knew it, real close to the, you know, in view of the tabernacle. And it says that God's anger rose up against them. They were blessed, but because they chose to step out from the authority of God, now they're under curse. You are blessed, but if you sin willfully, and especially in this area of your life, if you're not walking under submission to the authorities that God has placed over your life, curse will fall upon you. And you will wonder, what has happened to me? I thought God would, you know, love me. I thought this and that. But now there's multiple authorities. I'm just going to sum up real quick. Obviously, there's governmental authorities. There's social authorities, you know, like teachers and coaches and stuff like that. And then there's like the family structure, the father, then the mother, you know, and the children. You know, there's authorities. There's spiritual authorities. There's pastors and elders and prophets and teachers and apostles, all the fivefold ministry. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews that we must submit to them in a good manner with a good attitude. Because if we do so, we're under protection. Sometimes we buck the system and we think that, hey, we're just being good Americans. And we run away from authority. But when we do that, what we don't know is that we're actually stepping out of under the covering. So next week, I'm going to get into what happens. You know, what are we supposed to do when those leaders over us are cruel? When they're over us, they're not doing the right thing. Can we step out from under their blessing, under their authority? That's an important question to ask. And I'm going to get into it next week. But I want to build this foundation because the family cannot be blessed until it's walking under authority. I want to tell you, I've applied these principles to my life over the years, and I couldn't stand here today if I hadn't been a man under authority. And I can give you example after example of the situations that I ran, where I made sure that I was submitted to my parents, that I was submitted to pastor, even in the ministry. Little things like, you know, I remember we had a project going with a youth ministry, and then we were having a building campaign, and the pastor said, hey, I want you guys to stop what you're doing for a second and just kind of do these lessons over here. And I was like, oh, we're in the middle of our thing. But God spoke to me, said, you submit. And not just make it, you know, something that you do, but do with a willing heart. So we ran with the vision and we saw the blessing of God over the youth ministry because, you know, we submitted to the authority that God had placed over us. Amen? We have to submit to our authorities. Stop bucking the cops. Stop bucking your boss, talking bad about him. I'm just giving you quick, you know, little things that sometimes that we do. We need to bless our authority because when we do that, we are stepping back in under the umbrella. And now all of a sudden, we're just free to be blessed. Even when I struggle, I told you many times, because I was walking in authority. I was repenting regularly. I was seeking God and I was honoring my parents and all those things that are important to do. God bless me, you know, financially, physically, you know, relationally, emotionally. I mean, God has blessed me because I walk under authority. Amen. And it has to do with faith. There was a centurion that came up to Jesus and said, "Hey, Jesus, I'm a man under authority. When I tell all these soldiers to go over there, they go over there. If I tell them to come over here, they come over here. You know, I know that basically the world is under your authority. So if you speak, you know, healing over my servant, he's going to be healed. You don't even have to come to my house." And Jesus was like, "Wow, I have never seen faith like this." If there's one thing that impresses God, is somebody understands the laws, the spiritual laws. And this is a spiritual law that you have to follow. You have to submit to the authorities that God has placed over your life. Otherwise, you're not bucking them, you're bucking God. You know, you need to get this, people. As we walk forward, we want to be a people under blessing. We walk the walk. We want to run under the submission, you know, of our authorities, because it's gonna keep us blessed and protected. It's gonna release the purpose in your life. Amen. It's gonna set you apart. You're gonna have provision for your family. And I'm gonna stop right there. Can I ask the worship team to come up? We're gonna close these shortly. I'm not gonna do a special altar call. But I'm going to ask if anybody wants to, needs prayer of any type. You know, if you haven't submitted, first of all, to Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you need to do that. You need to do that. Just repent of your sins and say, "God, I've lived away from you. I've lived outside of that blessing, but I want to come in under the umbrella of your authority. I want what you have for me. I want to walk blessed, a blessed life." Amen. So anybody that wants any kind of prayer, whether it's for salvation or rededication, if you, you know, been struggling with some of these issues or any other issues, I'm going to ask the, you know, any pastors or elders that are present to come forward as we sing this song. And we want to pray with you. We want to bless you. Amen. Let's stand up.